Which, if I could think of a way I would least like to die, that would probably be near the top. It probably would be at the top, I think. Because it's one of those things that, you know, in ancient times, they did it because it seems so final. You cut a guy's head off. It's about the most convincing way to kill someone. You know, and their head's off, that's pretty much it. They're done. But God brings them back even after they've been beheaded. He sees their souls. They did not worship the beast. They did not worship his image. Did not receive his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They knew who he was. They had the number of the beast, so they did not take the mark. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. I explained that in chapter 13. So now they live and reign with Christ. Whereas they suffered and died in the time of the end, now they live and reign with Christ. They enter into the kingdom as rulers. And they have to reign over something. And as I said, the presumed people we rule over are the survivors. There will be mortals and immortals in the millennium.
One of my old teachers would have said, but the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Well, these mortals are not the inheritors of the kingdom. The inheritors of the kingdom are the sons of God. They are heirs with Christ. They reign with him over those who are not heirs.
It does speak in the book of Isaiah that in that time, the people who live on the earth will live in exceedingly long lives. The child shall die 100 years old. Which is usually taken to mean that, you know, that someone who is 100 years old would be thought of as a child. And I could very well see people living like lifespans, the same length as you see in the book of Genesis. But the interesting thing is, you know, the highest you ever saw people living was like 900 years, which is kind of interesting because you think about it. Now, I don't know about the generation that enters into the millennium, but if it's a 1,000-year reign, that would mean that really none of them would get to the very end. That whole generation would die off. And that the generation that will be alive when the dragon is loosed again after 1,000 years would be entirely made up of people who had been born in that time and had known nothing besides the kingdom of God. And I suppose there's going to be a reason for all that. But, you know, that's going to be 1,000 years, and there will be more spoken during that time. And I suppose I will understand better what's coming and what's going to happen when I get there. And there's nothing I could tell you other than, you know, be there. Let's be there together. And let's obtain the things that we can obtain now. And then we'll obtain the knowledge we want then. So they live and reign with him for 1,000 years. I mean, these are the things that he's given us to know. This is not very complicated. I think it's a very simple passage. The rest of the dead. That means those who were not part of the first resurrection. Those who were not, you know, as Paul said, they that are Christ at his coming. When he comes, those that are his, those that are in the grave will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. So God's elect will be raised into an eternal state of life, so shall they ever be with the Lord, as it is written. And so that is where you want to be. You know, you want to be blessed and holy and have part in the first resurrection. Now, everyone else who has died in the world will not live again till the 1,000 years are finished. They're going to remain dead. Now, I've said, right, Revelation, there can be symbology and you can take things as spiritual, and we have to make decisions. Now, some people decide. I remember my former teacher, Arnold Murray. I'm going to mention it because I know former students of his also listen to my teachings. And, you know, he would say they're spiritually dead.
They are spiritually dead, but yet they are raised in the same resurrection that the saints are raised in. They're just not inheriting eternal life. They're walking around. They're every bit as alive as they were before they were dead. Except now they're somehow spiritually dead.
That doesn't make any sense to me. They lived not again. The idea is the way they used to be alive they would be alive again. That way they were used to be alive was not spiritually alive. They were dead in trespasses and sins. They need to be made alive through the resurrection, and that's the subject here. You have to stick to the subject and the object, as my former teacher used to say, and as he does not do all the time. Constantly ignoring the context. The context is the resurrection. They will not live again in resurrection. They're going to remain in their graves. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. And this is something that, you know, Christ spoke of the resurrection of the just and of the unjust. And he seems to talk about it all as if it's all at one time. Well, he did not reveal, but it is revealed in the book of Revelation, that the resurrection of the just and the unjust is separated by 1,000 years. There's a 1,000-year gap between the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked. Those that are in Christ and those that are not Christ. They will be separated by 1,000 years.
Not only that, but their resurrections are fundamentally different. One is to life, the other to damnation.
And it explains later in this chapter what happens at the end of the 1,000 years when they are delivered up. It doesn't even really call it a resurrection, but you hear about them coming forth. The sea gave up the dead. And so it shall. But they do not live till the 1,000 years are finished. I think that's just so plain. No one else is going to live. No one else is coming back from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, some people say, you know, well, it says we're all going to be changed. It says we all. If you read that passage in context, the subject is Christians. You can't just insert everybody. You got to maintain your context. Who is he talking to? And I did a study on 1 Corinthians 15. You should look it up if you have any questions about that. I did a whole work on the resurrection of the dead on my website, oraclesofgod.org. You can... I believe in death and in the resurrection of the dead. You go to oraclesofgod.org and you go to the doctrine page and you scroll down, you'll find a paper there and even audio recordings of it. Here it foreshadows the second death. On such the second death hath no power, in verse 6 it says. There's no chance of them partaking of the second death. They have overcome. They've obtained the resurrection of the dead. God has, you know, they have obtained the inheritance promised. In my mouth, it was sweet as honey. But there's a lot of work in that. You know, they live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. As I said before,